ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆదికవయే ముహ్యందియ సూరయా. తేజో వారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాల్. నిగమ కల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాహం. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయా తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాతృదానందో మమ వాచి విజంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్లిగురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం కృతి భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేద వేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమ సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. വി ആർ ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഓഫ് ദിസ് ബ്രീഫ് ഡിസ്കഷൻ ഫ്രം രാമായണം, വിച്ച് ഈസ് സോ ഡിയർ ടു കൃഷ്ണ. കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് mentioned many times, and even in the childhood pastimes in Vrindavanam, when Krishna spent first 12 years at Vrindavan, and in those 12 years when Krishna played with the other cowherd boys, you can see in two or three instances Sudeva Goswami referring to Krishna's remembrance of his pastime as Ramachandra. That is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. How Krishna enjoyed those pastimes of Ramachandra when he played the same pastime with other cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Nilayanai sedu bandhai markadot plavanadivi. Krishna used to assemble all the boys together, all the cowherd boys together, and they used to play the whole drama of Ramayanam for their pleasure. They enjoyed that because Krishna was remembering probably that time when I came as Ramachandra, what all I did. Those thoughts must have come to Krishna's mind. Otherwise, why these pastimes have been repeatedly played in Vrindavanam is very difficult to say. Nilayanai sedu bandher markadot plavanadivi. That all the cowherd boys, they played the role of monkeys. And that is what, because naturally they had that instinct in them to enjoy in that boyhood, to enjoy these different roles as monkeys. And they also were engaged in building that bridge to Lanka, along with the as a help of the monkeys. All that things Sri Shukan mentions there in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. So we are continuing discussion of this Ramayanam story dear to Ramachandra as well as Krishna. That is why in the Bhagavatam when these things are discussed, Ramachandra's story is normally elaborated a little bit more because of this special relationship with Krishna and Ramachandra, the two personalities in the age of Kali who worships them. That Bhagavatam very specifically mentioned, says there that Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham tirthaspadam shivavirinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadabala bhavadibodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. That is Krishna. This is referring to Krishna. Karabhajana Maharshi says this to Nimi Maharaj in his discussions in the Ekadasa Skandam, that whom should people worship in the age of Kali? That in reference to that, it's mentioned there that this is one personality. The other one, Tektva Sudupsida Surepsida Rajya Lakshmim Dharmishtam Arya Vajasayadaga Dharanyam Mayamrigam Deida Epsida Manyadhaval Vande Mahapurushade Charanaravindam. So this is reference to Ramachandra, and the previous verse was reference to Krishna. Karabhajana Maharshi said these two personalities will be worshipped in this age of Kali by people who are distressed by the effect of Kali. They have no other shelter except to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very clear verdict on who will be worshipped in the age of Kali, and this is the verdict. It is Karabhajana Maharshi speaking this to Nimi Maharaj, and the same story was quoted by Sri Narada Muni while he was talking to Vasudevan Devaki. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam this two verses comes in. So we were in the middle of Ramayanam. We talked about Balakandam, childhood time of Ramachandra and the brothers, and also later on we spoke about Ayodhya Kandam, how they spent their time in Ayodhya after marrying Sita Devi, came back to the palace. And then they spent Aranya Kandam when Ramachandra had to go to forest because of the Kaikeyi's demands which she made on Dasharatha Maharaj, and how the time they spent in the forest, and then how Sita Devi was stolen in Panchavati, and later on they had to come to Kishkindha where they made their agreement with Sugriva to get Sita Devi back from Ravana. And all that agreements were made in Kishkindha. So there you can see the Kishkindha Kandam. So Balakandam, Ayodhya Kandam, Aranya Kandam and Kishkindha Kandam. After this we have then what is known as Sundara Kandam. As I mentioned last Sunday, that the very name Sundara Kandam was given to it Because naturally, while Meevi has seen something very special about Sandarakandam, which is not in the other cantos, because normally for the remaining cantos also, Valmiki gave the name, the next canto was given the name as Yuddhakandam, that is the war, which it reflects that war between Lord Ramachandra and Ravana. And that war was reflected, so accordingly Yuddhakandam name was given. Similarly, at the end, after coming back to Ayodhya, all the subsequent events, what happened, where Sita was abandoned, Lakshmana was also abandoned later, all those pastimes were summarized in Uttarakandam, which is the later part of the Ramayana. So every other canto had its own significance and the name reflected that. But when it came to Sandarakandam alone, Valmiki has decided to give this name Sandarakandam, rather than he could have given some other name to it. Why not? Because the personality who is present all through Sandarakandam is Hanuman. So he could have called this as Hanumal Kandam, or referring to Hanuman. Or even he could have called that the Samudra Lenghana Kandam, by crossing over the sea, how they crossed over. So many things they could have given, but no, Valmiki still gave the name as Sandarakandam for this particular canto, because of the special nature of this canto. In this particular canto, Sandarakandam, there are major role for Hanuman, Sita Devi and Ravana. That is what you will find very interesting. The discussion between Hanuman and Sita Devi, that is one of the finest discussions in the Ramayana. And similarly, the discussions between Ravana and Sita Devi, and later on between Hanuman and Ravana. So you can see these three personalities, Hanuman, Sita Devi and Ravana, they dominate this Sandarakandam all the way through. And basically, it is these three personalities and their discussions that bring forth or bring out all the beauty of Sandarakandam in the Ramayanam. Ramayanam has a lot of things to offer. If you understand the principles, what Hanuman has spoken, what Sita Devi spoke, and even what Ravana has spoken, we have things to learn from Ramayanam. That is why after millions and millions of years later, even today, people are reading Ramayanam and deriving a pleasure and happiness from that Ramayanam story. When Hanuman went to Sita Devi, to see Sita Devi, that is how that Kandam begins, that when he went to see Sita Devi, Sita Devi was by now totally exhausted under the association of these Rakshasis, or the personalities who were looking after, supposed to be looking after her, under instructions from Ravana. Ravana's instructions was such that Sita Devi should accept the position as Ravana's wife. And Sita Devi has managed to resist any move from Ravana till up to that point. But after all, Sita Devi was a princess, comes from a royal family. And that family and the comfort she has enjoyed changed overnight in life with the abduction by Ravana. That now she is going through a time in life, all that comforts and facilities, what was available in the palace, doesn't exist. On the other hand, she had to deal with these Rakshasis who were surrounding her and live with them and listen to their different instructions which was passed on by Ravana to them. And that was causing the whole problem for them, for her. And Sita Devi tried very, very hard to prevent the Rakshasis changing her mind or influencing her in any way. And there you can see a lot of things, the determination of Sita Devi's strength of mind. That is what Ramayanam is showing to us. That loyalty towards Ramachandra, Padivratyam, or the chastity, what Sita Devi has displayed in Ramayanam, makes her as the greatest personality among women, of all the women who were born in Bharatavarsham. That is why this is a Sita Devi's tradition that has still been maintained for many, many generations. They followed that path of Sita Devi. And it is Sita Devi who inspired them to continue this life in this world based on Dharmam. Dharmam, what was spoken about in the Manu's Smriti, or Manu has instructed. So therefore, that Dharma has survived so far, and it has carried on because personalities like Sita Devi protected them, and they have lived a life and gave the direction for the future generations to come. But whatever it is, Sita Devi was now in terrible distress, in total distress there, and she has not bathed for a long time. Her clothes were all muddy and dirty. At the same time, the whole hair has not been cleaned for a long time. She was in that distress. Her eyes were wet with the tears coming from the eyes. And she has come to a point in life close to a breaking down stage. Otherwise, Sita Devi was feeling that if this goes on and there is no news from Ramachandra till now, what is going to happen to me? This is what was the thoughts going through Sita Devi's mind. It was, and these Rakshasis were trying very hard to change them. And Valmiki has not forgotten to mention the beauty of Sita Devi, even under such circumstances. How beautiful she looked in the forest, in that condition, in the Ashodhavaniga, or the forest of the Ravana's palace. So, when she was there, it was then that Hanuman arrived there on the top of the tree. And when he arrived on the top of the tree, he wanted to let Sita Devi know who has arrived. In a usual Hanuman style, he wanted to let him know that I have arrived. So Hanuman has taken certain ways, because it was not very easy to convince Sita Devi that Hanuman was actually representing Ramachandra, because Sita Devi had a lot of doubts about everybody. First of all, these Rakshasis could take any form they wanted, and they could fool her in many ways. So Sita Devi was suspicious about everyone and everybody who came to speak to her. So Sita Devi initially resisted anyone and looked at everyone with a little skepticism. So that's where you find there that when Hanuman arrived, it mentions there in Valmiki says there that Sita Devi's left eye started twitching, and also the left arm and the left leg. Now, according to the Shastram or the science related to that, for women, when the left side is twitching, it's considered to be auspicious, and at the same time, if the left side is twitching for the men, it's considered to be inauspicious also. It was a signal that something auspicious is going to happen or something inauspicious is going to happen. So when this happened to Sita Devi, her eyes were twitching, left eye, and left leg and the left arm also was giving these signals. She felt that something must be happening, and she felt a little relief in her mind, although nothing has been come to yet, concrete has happened. Surprisingly, at the same time, it seems that Ravana's also left eye was twitching. So, it says Valmiki has not forgotten to mention this in the Ramayana. At the same instance when this was happening to Sita Devi, Ravana's left eye was also twitching. And Ravana also thought something at that time, what's going to happen to me now? So, Ravana is in that state of mind in the palace, and Sita Devi is in the state of mind underneath the Shimshaba tree. So when they were sitting in that condition, that Hanuman arrives there. Hanuman arrived on the top of the tree, and the Shimshaba tree is a very heavy tree, hard wood it is. And he was sitting on the in the shade of the leaves, and nobody could see him. So to let Sita Devi know who has come, Valmiki Maharshi mentions there the whole history of Ramachandra and Sita Devi right from Ayodhya all the way to Kishkindha, what has happened. The whole story he recited there, and Hanuman recited there, and Sita Devi heard everything from the at the bottom of the tree where she was sitting. So up to that point, Sita Devi has come to a point now in life. Sita Devi almost decided to give up her life, because she could not take it anymore. After all, a breakdown point comes in life, isn't it? Most of us do. So this has happened to her also. Sometimes when you can't bear it anymore, she decided that something has to be done, and better to give up the life, she thought. Why should I continue this life? Rather than surrendering to Ravana's ill-conceived plans, rather she gives up the life. So how to give up the life? Even that was not possible, because these Rakshasis who were sitting around, they were trying to convince her, and they will not offer any help in any way. Rather, they were working as agents for Ravana. So she thought about it, and she felt sometimes, she looked at her own hair. When she looked at her hair, the hair right up to the up to the knees, and it was so long, and such a beautiful hair, Valmiki says, that Sita Devi thought, let me use this hair for finishing my life. And that is when Sita Devi decided to tie this hair and strangle herself with the hair. With this intention, she was looking up into the tree when she heard the verses from spoken by Hanuman. Hanuman spoke many verses at that time. There are some of the beautiful verses in Ramayanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi in Brahmanda Puranam, when he wrote the same story, Lord Shiva is speaking to Parvati about the beauty of Sita Devi at that time. Sita Devi, in spite of, without any makeup, without anything, she looks so beautiful in that forest. Maybe because the Rakshasis have increased her beauty. Because among the Rakshasis, a human being looks definitely more beautiful. So she looked more beautiful among them. And Valmiki has not forgotten to mention about that in the Ramayanam also. So when Sita Devi heard all these verses when Sita Devi heard these verses from, there's about 8 verses which while Hanuman recited to give a signal to Sita Devi that he is a bona fide representative of Ramachandra. That was the intention behind it. So what he did was, he spoke to Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Tanmule Rakshasi Madhye Sthitam Janakanandinim Dadarsha Hanuman Viro Devadam Iva Bhutale Ekavenim Krisham Dinam Malinam Bharadharinim. This is the condition of Sita Devi. Among the Rakshasis, Sthitam Janakanandinim, this daughter of Janaka was situated among them. And what did Hanuman see? Ekavenim Krisham Dinam Malinam Bharadharinim Bhumau Shayanam Shojandim Ramaramedi Bhashinim Tradaram Nadigachandi Upavasa Krisham Shubham. Sita Devi's condition was such, she was reciting Rama Rama continuously, the holy names of Lord Ramachandra, and seeking for shelter. And that is how she was spending her time. Her body has lost a lot of weight, and she was particularly looking very, very weak at that time. And Sita Devi, after seeing this condition, that what is supposed to be done at that time, Sita Devi could not say anything more. Sita Devi wanted to hear. But immediately at that point, before Sita Devi could continue the conversation with him, that Ravana arrives there. Ravana has come to visit Sita Devi with all his associates. And that, as soon as Ravana arrived there, Ravana's first question to Sita Devi was, have you changed your mind? And Sita Devi, in response to that, bluntly told Ravana that question doesn't arise. There's no necessity to discuss this topic anymore further. So the more Sita Devi was answering in a negative way, Ravana continued threatening her and was becoming really very, very violent in his attitude, that he was one point decided that he should talk about Ramachandra in detail. Because he wanted to tell Sita Devi that if you are waiting for Ramachandra going to come and take you here from here, that's not going to happen, he said to her. Not only he said that to her, he wanted to tell her that who is this Ramachandra after all? You have put so much faith in this Ramachandra, and does Ramachandra care for you? This is what he asked her. And the interesting thing here is that in each of these verses, whatever Ravana has spoken is true actually. Because if you take it in the proper way, you can see these verses will reflect the reality. The first verse itself, Ravana says to Sita Devi is, Ravano bitadasidam alokyaha sumadhyame maam drishtvaki vritha subhro svalpanyeva viliyase ramo vanacharanam hi madhye tishthati sanuja kadajil drishyade kaischil kadajil naiva drishyade. That was the verse Ravana has spoken to Sita Devi. What he said was, ramo vanacharanam hi Rama is always wandering around in the forest. This is what he does. Along with what? Madhye Tishtari Sanuja, along with his younger brother. He is wandering around in the forest. What else he does? Sometimes you can find him, sometimes you can't find him. He says, Ramana is saying to Sita Devi about Ramachandra, that you can find him sometime, but you can't find him sometime. You cannot find him. I have looked for him everywhere, but I can't find him where he is, he said. It is truth that who finds Ramachandra? Actually, it says there in that verse, Vanacharis means people who live in the forest. So two kinds of people live in the forest. Who are they? One is this monkeys, Hanuman's people. The other one, the sages. So Ravana was referring to the monkeys. But in reality, actually, who is actually looking for Ramachandra in the forest? The sages. The sages are looking for Ramachandra. That is why that verse, Ramo Vanacharanam hi Madhye Tishtati Sanujam, that actually with the Vanacharis, Vanacharis means the dwellers of the forest, like the monkeys, Ramachandra is moving around in the forest with his younger brother Lakshmana. And they were looking for Ramachandra, but strictly speaking, Vanacharis are also the sages. They were also looking for Ramachandra in the... It is they who come to the forest looking for Ramachandra. They don't stay in the country. They come to forest to perform their penances looking for Ramachandra. Kadaji drishyade kaishchil kadajil naiva drishyade. Those who are qualified, they can see Ramachandra. That's why it says, kadajil... But sometimes they can find him. Some sages were able to find him. Some people could not find him, who were not qualified to see him. They were not able to find him. So you can see, Ravana meant something, but nothing has gone wrong. Why does this happen? Because even if Ravana wants to speak ill of Ramachandra, he can't speak. Because who controls the power of speech? Saraswati Devi controls. So if Saraswati Devi controls Ravana's tongue, even if Ravana wants to abuse Ramachandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he couldn't do it because it is restricted by Saraswati Devi. Or in other words, if you speak something, it will come out in a different way. That is how the power of speech is controlled by Saraswati, Vagdevana. Mayadu bahuda lokash preshidastasya darshani na pashyandi prayatnena vichamana samam tataham. Even if you put very, very heavy effort, large effort to find him, na pashyandi prayatnenam, even by your effort, you cannot see him. Vichamana samam tadam. That kim garishyasi ramena nispruhena sada tvai, tvaya sada lingido bi samibasto bi sarvadam. That what is Rama going to do? Rama has no attraction for you. That is why he doesn't come. Is that not true? If you strictly think about Ramachandra, what attraction has he got to anybody? He has no attraction to anybody. And Ravana says that, on the other hand, I am attracted to you because Ravana is attracted to Maya. This Sita Devi is nobody else than Maya Devi sitting there. So you see, whatever Ravana has spoken has all come out correctly also. Nothing has gone wrong. Everything is absolutely right. That Ravana says, I am very attracted to you. Yes, it is a fact. Ravana is very attracted to Maya. Whereas Ramachandra has no attraction for Maya. What attraction? Ramachandra is so totally self-satisfied. He is not like us or like Ravana, who is attracted to any of the creations in the material world. They are not attracted by anything. So those words have also come true. Like this, in 7 or 8 verses, different things Ravana spoke, everything else came true as well. So this has happened like this, and Sita Devi was controlled by Ravana. Ravana tried to impress Sita Devi, and Sita Devi from the beginning to end said no to Ravana. And it was then that Ravana at the last minute decided to tell Sita Devi the final decision. He told her and told the Rakshasis who were sitting there, I give them 2 months time for her to change her mind. If not, when I come the next time after 2 months, Sita Devi should be offered to me as my breakfast. This is the Ravana's request to the Rakshasis. That is how Ravana spoke. Now, Ravana's personality had this kind of understanding in his mind that Sita Devi was for him to enjoy, the necessity to think of Sita Devi as an object of enjoyment. This was Ravana's mentality. You will see later on, when Hanuman and Ravana met with each other, how they talked to each other. That is also very interesting in Ramayana. That Hanuman and Sita Devi's conversation before it started, when Ravana went back to the palace after instructing the Rakshasis to change her mind, to change Sita Devi's mind. Then Hanuman has overheard all this conversation, and Hanuman decided now that I cannot allow Sita Devi to experience this distress anymore. I should openly speak to her. So when he recited these verses from the treetop, Sita Devi heard that, and Sita Devi started thinking, who is singing these verses about Ramachandra like this? It has been a very, very long time that I heard anything about Ramachandra or Lakshmana. And these verses were spoken by, as I mentioned before, Hanuman was known for his ability to speak properly. Even Ramachandra was impressed. Perhaps that's one of the reasons Ramachandra decided to select him as his representative to travel. And because he knew Hanuman could speak properly to people. And seeing, impressed by Hanuman's knowledge of the language and the grammar, everything, he was instructed by Ramachandra for this mission. And when Hanuman started speaking, Sita Devi heard that. Sita Devi was equally impressed by Hanuman's sweet words coming from the top of the tree. And suddenly he came down from the top and paid his obeisances to Sita Devi. When he paid his obeisances to Sita Devi, Sita Devi looked at him. Sita Devi didn't know who this Hanuman was. He just saw a monkey sitting there in front of her. And he could not understand, is this Rama's representative? Rama couldn't find anybody else in this world, Sita Devi thought for a moment. And Sita Devi was not at all convinced seeing him. And it was a very hard task for Hanuman to convince Sita Devi that he is representing Ramachandra. This was the most difficult thing. After all, after so many months in separation from Ramachandra, Sita Devi had gone through so much. Now it is enough for her, he couldn't take it anymore. Now that she had to go through to find out the credibility of Hanuman. And Sita Devi kept looking at him, and some of the conversation what started from Hanuman made Sita Devi become more suspicious. What happened was, Hanuman told Sita Devi that I'm so unhappy that to see you in this condition, he said to her. And he said, come jump on my shoulder, she says to her. So Sita Devi thought, this is a real monkey's brain. See, that is exactly what he replied to her. She replied to him that monkey alone will think like this. That monkeyness in the Hanuman came out at that time by chance. The monkeyness was this, that Sita Devi asked Hanuman this question. You are telling me to climb on your shoulders, first of all, which also I'm not going to do, number one. Even if I do it, how are you going to carry me from here all the way back to Ramachandra? All these rakshas are sitting there. Are they going to leave me? Are they going to leave you, first of all? And I'm not even sure that whether you can fight these rakshasas. You say that you can fight them. You can do this, you can do that. But keeping me on the shoulder, you are going to fight all these people. It didn't look very practical to Sita Devi. So Sita Devi straight away refused and told and started thinking, is this a proper representative of Ramachandra who has come to see me in this condition? A lot of doubts came up in Hanuman's mind, in Sita Devi's mind. So Sita Devi was very open about it, and she told Hanuman that that's not going to work. This plan is not going to work, what you are saying. Hanuman said, no. If you are not coming, I'll go there and I'll put them on my shoulders and come back here. Hanuman says at that time. So again Sita Devi got the doubt that this Lanka is a very powerful place. Ravana has got all these great powerful people ready to fight there. What is these two brothers, Rama and Lakshmana, going to come and do here? If we come here, all that's going to happen is all of us will be locked up in the prison. This is what Sita Devi says to Hanuman. So that is not seems to be a very good proposition. So she started asking this question. Is there any clear plan in your head? That have you made up anything properly, any plan? Or is it just like the monkey style of doing things, running here and running back, up and down? So Altogether, Sita Devi got a bit suspicious about this mode of Hanuman. And see, she told him also that that is not the proper way to do things. You should go back and tell Ramachandra that I'm waiting here and he should come here with all the other army to fight the war. Otherwise, there is no chance of me escaping from here. So Sita Devi referred all these things to Hanuman. So Hanuman, it was then that he thought that he has to do something before he goes back. That was a good thing what Hanuman has done. Hanuman had this conviction, I am a representative here from Ramchandra's side. So since I've come, I should let the people know who I am at least. And in order to do that, I have to do something so they will recognize my presence here. It is then he started acting in a destructive mood. He started destroying everything in the forest there. Not only destroyed, he pulled out a big iron pillar, it says, and with that he started smashing everything, whatever came on his way. And prior to this, all these things have happened. That Sita Devi and Hanuman, in their conversations between Sita Devi and Hanuman, Hanuman mentioned to Sita Devi that Hanuman mentioned to Sita Devi that this life in the forest has been so hard for her that unless he helps immediately, something is going to happen to her. And Hanuman says there, Kridartoham, Kridartoham, Punapashyami Raghavam, that I will be Kridartha. Kridartha means I will be satisfied when I see Ramachandra again after going back to Kishkindha. When I see him again, Kridartoham, Kridartoham, Punapashyami Raghavam, again when I see Raghava, when I see Lord Ramachandra, I will be satisfied because I'll be able to take this message from Sita Devi back to Ramachandra. So Hanuman's words were so sweet, and Hanuman spoke so nicely to Sita Devi that Sita Devi was also affected by the speech of Hanuman. Hanuman succeeded in telling her the whole history. History was this, that Dasharatha was a king in Ayodhya. Dasharatha's four children, Ram, Lakshman, Bhagavan, Shatrughna, they went with Vishwamitra Maharshi. Rama and Lakshman got married to Sita Devi. They came back to Ayodhya. And after that, to uphold the words of Dasharatha Kaikeyi, Ramchandra had to go to forest with Sita Devi and Lakshmana. And they travelled, but in Panchavati, Sita Devi was abducted by Ravana. And Ramchandra has been crying since then, thinking about my Janaki, my dear Janaki. He was always crying for to see Janaki, Sita Devi. And eventually he met with, in Panchavati Sita Devi was stolen, but in Kishkindha he met with Sugriva and made the alignment with Sugriva and the monkeys, and have sent the monkeys all around searching for Sita Devi and Ravana. And it is me, Hanuman, who has come from Ramachandra, Sugriva's army, searching for Sita Devi, and it's me who is sitting here on the top of the tree. This is how those verses were spoken by Hanuman. When Hanuman spoke all these verses, Sita Devi was very pleased with that. And then Sita Devi instructed Hanuman that he should go back now, and as a matter of recognition, she handed over the Chudaratnam, that is the jewel from her hair, which she was wearing, handed it over back to Hanuman to take it hand it over to Ramachandra for recognition of seeing Sita Devi here, just like she received the ring from Ramachandra, which was handed over to her by Hanuman. So Hanuman was happy with that. In addition to that, Sita Devi also mentioned a story to Hanuman, which she said to Hanuman that he should remind Ramachandra when he gets back to Kishkindha. The story was that Sita Devi told Hanuman that when they were in the forest earlier, one day Ramachandra was sleeping with his feet in Sita Devi's lap. At that time, a bird came and started biting Sita Devi's feet. Because of the pain, worrying that Ramachandra may wake up, Sita Devi tolerated all the pain. The bird bit her feet and went away from there. So Vayasam, it's a crow-like thing which came. And the bird went away, but when Ramachandra woke up, Ramachandra saw Sita Devi's feet was bleeding. When he saw that, he inquired what has happened, and Sita Devi said to Ramachandra, what happened with the bird who came and bit her with her feet? Ramachandra, through his yogic power, decided to bring that bird back there. And through that yogic power, he brought that bird back into the spot again. And the bird started apologizing to Ramachandra. Ramachandra said, no apology will work now. You have done something seriously wrong. You hand over one of your eyes to me here. And he had to leave one of the eyes and go back. And the bird went for shelter all over, right up to Brahmalokam, but couldn't find shelter. Say this story to Ramachandra and he will remember me at that time. Hanuman carried that message also from Sita Devi to be taken to Kishkindha. But when this was happening, Ravana heard about this arrival of Hanuman from his agents who came and reported to him, a monkey has arrived in the forest, he has destroyed everything, he was smashing the whole place up. And not only that, he started thinking now what else can be done. So it was then that Ravana sent some soldiers to tie him down or to shoot, kill him and bring him back to the palace. When they came here, the first thing with this iron pillar, what Hanuman was carrying, he smashed them and killed them all in one lot. The 5 or 10 of them mentioned there, they were all gone. So the same news came back to Ravana. This time Ravana was much more organized. He sent a team of, an army of people to get hold of him, to control him. But as usual, our Hanuman was so powerful that Hanuman was not frightened about anything. Then with the same iron rod, he started smashing them one after the other. So the whole army was also killed by one monkey like Hanuman. And then when he went back and reported, this time Ravana decided that some senior member has to go, and that was then Akshakumara, his son had come. Son came with an army, and this, remember, Akshakumara had a lot of capacity to fight the war. They were all trained in very high high quality warfare. So when they came, the same Akshakumara tried his very best to use all the weapons he had in his control, but Hanuman would not tolerate. Hanuman will not accept defeat. He killed Akshakumara also in the war. So when the news got back to palace, Ravana was very perturbed. Ravana got a little worried, because who is this such a person that who could do this in my Lanka? No one else had the courage to do that before. It was then that Indrajit came up, and knowing well Indrajit, capacity of Indrajit, Ravana entrusted this responsibility to Indrajit to fight Hanuman. And accordingly, Indrajit comes there with his Brahmastram and so many other weapons with Indrajit. The name Indrajit itself, as it shows, that he has won in the battle, even Indra, Lord Indra, that is how his name Indrajit came to him. So he was such a powerful person in the war that he was able to use the Brahmastram towards Hanuman. And Hanuman at that point, although he could have killed Indrajit also, he didn't do that, because he thought, now he wants to tie me with Brahmastram, not kill me, but tie me with that and take me to the palace. So let me have my first meeting with Ravana. He was looking forward to that very much. And in Ramayanam you will find at this stage that this discussion between Hanuman and Ravana, it is one of the most fascinating discussions in the Ramayanam. Why it's fascinating is that Hanuman is a personality who had absolute faith in the two letters Rama. Never in his life he has ever forgotten to chant these two letters, and never he would give up chanting that. Even today in Kimpurusha Varsham, it says there in the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, that where Lord Ramchandra is worshipped by his devotees, who is the leader of singing the prayers, who sings glorifying Ramchandra, the leader is Hanuman. And not only that, he is the most most the greatest devotee of Ramachandra, who sings the glorification of Ramachandra and these two letters, continuously chanting the holy names Rama. So from there you can see his commitment to Rama and to Ramachandra. and the holy name was such that never he ever once had any time he has fallen in his effort. Why? Because he was always protected by these two letters, Rama. So when he came to see Ravana, he was also chanting Ramchandra's name. Now you can imagine that how Ravana would have liked that, somebody coming to see him chanting Ramchandra's name. And not only that, when Ravana saw him, he did not offer him a seat even to sit down. After all, he thought, this is just a monkey from the forest, and we Rakshasas are more advanced in everything than them, and we do not sing, nobody gives respect to monkey. If this is Ramchandra's army, he thought, I can imagine what that army will be like. This is what he was thinking in his mind. So Ravana did not have the courtesy even to offer any seat for Hanuman. So Hanuman thought, if that's the case, then let me develop a seat for myself. So he took his long tail, tied it in the form of a spring, and come up like that, and so on top of it he sat down. So the spring was created in such a way, when he sat on the top of the spring of this tail, spring tail or whatever you call it, on top of that, he was on a higher level than Ravana. That was sufficient. It was done only to infuriate Ravana. He did this. He had no other intention. Just to infuriate, Hanuman decided that if that is his attitude, this is my attitude as well. And that is the response from Hanuman. But one thing is there. In spite of all that, Hanuman respected Ravana. Ravana's life, you should look back into his own life a little bit to understand this personality, Ravana. When Ravana is the son of Vishravas. Vishravas was a Brahmana. And this Brahmana, somehow or the other, married a Rakshasi called Kaigasi. And from that relationship, Ravana was born. So because the father was a Brahmana, he has taught Ravana a lot of things. Ravana was a very, very qualified person. Don't underrate him, thinking that he was a Rakshasa. No, he was a Brahmana. He studied all the Vedic literature. He has mastered them. In addition to that, Ravana was known for a few things. What else? He was known for his determination. A very, very strong determination, which you rarely find among many demons. Demons are there. For example, when you look at Ravana, you will remember Hiranyakashipu. Because the same kind of determination what Hiranyakashipu had, Ravana also had. That's number one. In addition to that, tapashakti, in other words, the strength derived from austerities and penances, were also very high for Ravana. Ravana was so powerful in his austerities and penances, he has terrified both Brahma and Shiva. Both of them, they got terrified seeing his strength of austerities. In fact, Brahma, first of all, tried to avoid Ravana. Exactly, look at Brahma's situation, how unfortunate he is. Brahma, in the beginning, he went through earlier with Hiranyakashipu, an unfortunate situation. There itself, Brahma agreed that what I have done is a wrong thing by offering those boons to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, when he was performing the penances, you can read in the 7th canto what happened. That Hiranyakashipu at one point threatened Brahma to such an extent that by the strength of penances from Hiranyakashipu, the air from inside was going up and it was heating up the heavenly planets right up to Brahmaloka it was reached. So you can see the power of austerities of Hiranyakashipu. Although a demon, the strength of determination in him was so high that all the demigods got terrified seeing what Hiranyakashipu was up to. So it was then that he had no choice, Brahma had no choice except to come down with his kamandalu, the water pot in the hand. And when he saw Hiranyakashipu, what did he see there? A pack of bones in a bag of skin. That is what it was. Hiranyakashipu looked like, and completely covered with this, with the ants, earthworms, everything covering his body. And when Brahma came there, Brahma saw that from his water pot, he took some water and sprinkled on Hiranyakashipu, and from there he came out. What in the Bhagavatam says, Vajra Samhanano Yuva. You will never see a description of a demon like this. If you have looked at Hiranyakashipu, he was the most good-looking person in the whole creation at that time. It says, the whole body was like vajram, like diamond, it says. Hiranyakashipu looked like that. Vajra samhanano yuvam. And it was then that Hiranyakashipu asked for different boons from Brahma. So when he asked for all those boons, Brahma was very careful. Ultimately, Brahma knew, if I did not give him what I wanted, he will not let me go from here. The stage has come to that because of the power of penances, power of austerities. So, at that time, Brahma has learned a good lesson. In spite of that, this time it was Ravana. The same person, of course, they are from the Vaikuntha planet, both Jayavijaya, Kambhas, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. But the same Ravana is up to the same game what he did when he came as Hiranyakashipu. So Brahma was very disturbed and Brahma did not know what to do. So he started his sacrifices. Out of the 10 heads, he cut his 9 heads and put it in the fire. This is Ravana. Look at the demon's nature. That demons also sometimes you will find unusual determination in them, what you don't find in the ordinary human species even. You'll find that. But the only thing is, all directed in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. So he cut his 9 heads. And when he was going to cut his 10th head, Brahma had no choice but to come and ask for boons what he wanted. And everything Ravana bargained with Brahma at that time. This is what I want from you. And he got. Basically, he did that just to get rid of Kubera, his half-brother, you can call, who was controlling Lanka at that time. This Kubera was very, very rich. And Ravana wanted to possess Lanka because of its opulence. So he wanted to expel Kubera from there. And that is what he wanted from Brahma, that boon for doing that. And that's what he got. And he got Lanka later on. So Ravana, by no means, was an ordinary person. So when Hanuman looked at Ravana's face, straight away he could recognize the greatness in him. This is a good quality of Hanuman. Hanuman saw that this is not an ordinary person. It's the first meeting, you have to remember, which happened, of course, later on in the war. They had to do a lot of things together. But now the first meeting, Ravana has impressed Hanuman so much. That determination in his face was very much there. And that courage in him, ability in him, all these things impressed Hanuman very much. But just like he did with Brahma, Ravana was also a devotee of Lord Shiva. He has pleased Lord Shiva as well through his penances and also his service to him. His devotion to Lord Shiva was very high. But on the other hand, Ravana had some different problems. Problems were like this. Lord Shiva also acknowledged this is a problem with Ravana. So therefore something has to be done. So the problem was that whenever the mantra Swaha was chanted, Ravana found it difficult to chant that mantra. Because according to Ravana, he was so powerful himself and that arrogance in him was such that he says that if I chant this mantra Swaha, that he says, it's just like crying, he says. Anybody who is crying in this world, I don't cry, he said. I don't cry, Ravana says. So I won't be chanting that Swaha, he says. I leave it from my list. He said he took it off from his list. That is one of his ego was such. Secondly, in another instance, Sri Parvati was with Lord Shiva together. So when Ravana went to see him in Kailas, normally all great, great personalities, great sages, they come to see Lord Shiva in Kailas to get instructed in transcendental knowledge. Lord Shiva is one of the acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradayam also. From all aspects, impersonalism or personalism, whatever it is, Lord Shiva is an authority on spiritual knowledge. So great sages come to him. Ravana also went to see him. Sages will pay their respects to both Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva. Ravana says, no, I don't pay obeisances to women, he says. So what do you think about him? So he says, I will pay on this side of Lord Shiva, because according to the Shastram, Ardham Arishwari, he is part of Lord Shiva is Sri Parvati. That is how their role is in the creation. Ardhanarishwari, she has got this name because Sri Parvati is half of Lord Shiva. So when he pays obeisances to Lord Shiva, He will pay obeisances in such a way that it will be on the right side of Lord Shiva, not on the left side. Because he says on the left side it is Shiva Parvati, I don't pay obeisances there. This was his misfortune. So you can see, very learned person, highly determined, and also a lot of austerities and penances to his credit. He had everything. He had the knowledge. But what was lacking in him, that was lacking in him, that this arrogance in him. So the mind wasn't right. It was, he hadn't had the right frame of mind. That he learned from all these things, what he concluded was that what first thing I have to do is to challenge everybody. So this challenging nature and this arrogance, that didn't take him very far. That is what has happened. All this destruction came to him. Because here you will find that when Sita Devi, after leaving Sita Devi, when Hanuman was discussing with Ravana, Hanuman gave a lot of valuable instructions to Ravana. Hanuman even told Ravana that you still can save your life if you decide, agree to go and hand over Sita Devi and surrender to Ramachandra. That is what Hanuman told Ravana. But Ravana was in no mood to listen to anything. And that conversation in Ramayanam is also very interesting. How Ravana was given such a lot of advice and instruction by Hanuman just to make him understand the position of Ramachandra and not to go against the will of Ramachandra. That what he has done at this point in time is such a thing that the most abominable thing, to steal Sita Devi from Ramachandra's position and to keep her in the palace thinking that one day she will become his wife. So Hanuman has threatened Ravana and given strong indications what is going to happen in the future. But in spite of that, Ravana decided to kill him straight away. He told his minister, Prahastha, that was his name, told his minister, he won't talk to Hanuman directly. He told his minister, Prahastha, he tells Prahastha, ask this monkey, who is he? And also find out from him why he has come here and what is he doing here. So the conversation was not direct to Hanuman. It was through the minister Prahastha. So Prahastha started in a very respectful way to Hanuman, explaining to him that Ravana is not at all pleased with you, he says. And he also says to Hanuman that if you now apologize to Ravana, he is willing to forgive you and let you go without any problem. So Ravana was thinking of punishing Hanuman, and Hanuman was answering through Prahastha back to Ravana that I do not apologize normally to anybody, he says. That my normal habit is I go wherever I want to go and I do what I like. I belong to the monkey race. And when I do something, I do what I like. I don't find any logic in what I'm doing, he said. So whatever you like you want to do with me, you can do. But all I've come here is to give some good advice to Ravana before the destruction comes. So he spoke so many nice things in the Ramayanam. Those instructions from Hanuman to Ravana, if you read, you will see what an amount of transcendental knowledge Hanuman had. Hanuman knew who is Ramachandra. Hanuman knew who is Sita Devi. Hanuman knew who is Lakshmana. And reflecting their original nature as the Supreme Lord and chanting these two letters, Rama Rama, Hanuman was trying to make Ravana a devotee. This is what Hanuman was trying to do. He tried very hard to make Ravana a devotee, to surrender to Ramachandra. But unfortunately, due to this misfortune of Ravana, Ravana could not listen. So he instructed that this is a monkey, so best thing I can punish him is that Vibhishana came forward and told Ravana that it is not proper to punish a representative who has come from another king. And not only that, he is a monkey. And what is this punishing a monkey? It is not right, proper for your position as the king of Lanka. On the other hand, if you want to give him some small punishment, it doesn't matter. After all, that's enough if you really think that that's necessary. And that is why it was decided that to put a lot of rags around his tail and put this oil around and light the place and burn his body for the tail part. So they thought that Hanuman is going to suffer from that. And when all these things were going on, Hanuman's tail was lit by the, a lot of rags were brought in, and Ramayanam says that so much rags were required because of the length of the tail. And after the oil was poured and it was lit, Hanuman was thought, now they have done the job for me, what I had to do myself otherwise. Yes, they have given me the opportunity, now what I have to do. Now all this news was coming back to Sita Devi. What was happening here was reported back by the Rakshasis. So Sita Devi was sitting there, and Valmiki has not forgotten to mention one thing there, that not even the slightest heat was felt by Hanuman at that time. Why? Why did that happen? Because although they lit the tail of Hanuman, Sita Devi was sitting here and praying to Ramachandra that if in my lifetime ever I have pleased you by my service, if ever I have not fallen down from my position as the wife of Lord Ramachandra at any time, let Hanuman's tail not burn. This was the prayer she was praying. The words he has used is, Shito Bhava Hanumata, let Hanuman's tail cool down, she said. Sita Devi's words won't go in vain. It cannot go in vain, because that is the strength of Sita Devi. So when Sita Devi spoke like that, naturally, there was immediately it was experienced, Hanuman was experienced the coolness of the tail. Here it was burning and Hanuman was feeling the cool feeling. Just see the potency of Sita Devi's words. So Hanuman decided now that he has to move around a bit. So he destroyed the whole of Lanka that night, and Ravana's palace, and not only Ravana's, except Vibhishana's palace, Hanuman has not left anything behind. He set fire. Ravana was thinking that gold and silver won't burn, but that night gold and silver did burn. And this is why the Rakshasis were frightened. They started going to Ravana and asking him to do something about it. What can Ravana do? Ravana couldn't do anything. And eventually, before he came back from there, back to Kishkindha, he had to make sure that Ravana has understood that he is going to experience a big fight with Ramachandra. So he succeeded in that message. While he was moving from here, I mentioned that before, that and he crossed over the ocean. Hanuman had to go through 800 miles. Jumping across was not an easy thing, but Hanuman achieved that through his strength, and that is what even the demigods were surprised to seeing Hanuman's strength in moving so swiftly and with such a strength. So in that travel across the sea, demigod sent a Surasa to test his strength, and it was then that between Surasa and Hanuman in the air there was a discussion. Surasa expanded her mouth and Hanuman also expanded. When Surasa became 5 yojanas, it says Hanuman became 10 yojanas. When Surasa became 40 yojanas, Hanuman became 100 yojanas. Like this, he started increasing the size. And when Surasa's mouth became so big, Hanuman immediately became small, went through his mouth and came through the ear out. When Surasa saw that, she recognized that Hanuman is not an ordinary personality, who has got a lot of power in him, and allowed to let him go. Not only that, while going the ocean, the sea, Sagaram, the name came from that, Sagara kings given the name Sagaram, the ocean personified came and wanted to help Hanuman in that journey. So there was a mountain in the sea known as Mainakam, asked Mainakam to come up and to support Hanuman. Hanuman even wanted to stop over there. He said, I had no time. So with his hand he touched Mainakam and put it on his head and continued the journey. And then on the way, again, another demon known as Simhiga, she tried to hold him back. By holding Hanuman's shadow, she was able to hold Hanuman back. It was then that Hanuman had to kill her, to kill Simhiga, to escape from this evil effect. And so many obstacles were created by different personalities. But in spite of all that, Hanuman managed to cross over to the other side. So after meeting with this famous meeting with Ravana, that discussion between Ravana and Hanuman, Valmiki and Vedavyas has not forgotten this discussion. Because normally the tendency among the demons is always to minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can see that always you will notice among the demoniac nature, they will not see Krishna as the Supreme, they will see Krishna as another human being. People have seen him like that. They will see Ramachandra as another human being. And this is the greatest danger in spiritual life when this thing situation happens. This can happen anytime to anybody. You can see in the modern world, it's quite often, you may not probably straight away understand this situation, because only when you read such literature you can recognize it. For example, it's quite common in the modern days to take these literature like Ramayana and Mahabharata and these great personalities in the university, professors and scholars and pandits or whatever you want to call them, they'll take these things, and because they can speak effectively through their way of presentation or through their capacity to talk, they start taking personalities like Ramachandra, Krishna and others and start evaluating them. And then they write greatly, they write thousands of pages about it, as though they have understood Ramayanam and Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. And then they present these to their great so-called authorities there in the university, who offer them degrees and doctorates or whatever they want to offer them. So when they get these things, they get themselves established as very qualified people to speak about Ramayanam, Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam. In fact, if you read their writings, you will see that this demoniac tendency in them. These personalities, because they can effectively communicate things, they will write it in such a way that they have understood Ramachandra and Ramayana. They will discuss about it. They will scrutinizingly analyze everything about Valmiki, about Ramachandra, about Sita Devi in such a mundane way that those who read that will also get affected by that. This is the difficulty. And these so-called scholars who have absolutely no devotion to Krishna or to Ramachandra, who will not even come to the temple and pay obeisances to Krishna, who will not even accept prasadam, and who have such a debauchery life in their own personal lifestyle, they have no difficulty in taking Ramayanam and evaluating Ramachandra and Sita Devi. So you can imagine how careful you have to be while reading these kind of trash they print it out and then release it in the press and act as though they are the authorities on Ramayanam and Bhagavatam. This is the misfortune of this world, that such people who are not different than Ravana, they take up this position as authorities on this, and they occupy such big positions in the so-called academic world, and they have taken to that position because their belly is fed by the university salary or the grants from there, because money is the attraction there. And only as a job it is done without fully understanding that what their relationship with Krishna is, what their relationship with Radharani or to Ramachandra is, they start analyzing their personality through their writings. And when they start doing that, that becomes the greatest danger for a devotee, because a devotee finds very hard to see Krishna and Ramachandra being discussed in this mundane way by these personalities, which will destroy in their own devotion. So therefore, it becomes absolutely necessary to take care of this one point, especially in the early stages of devotion. There is a beautiful story that when you are in the early days of spiritual life, what can happen is one word from such people is enough to destroy your faith in Krishna. A word is enough. But therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while discussing the same topic of devotion, Sadam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrikarna rasayanah kathah tajoshanodashu abhavargavarpmani shraddha radir bhaktir anukrameshani. Bhagavatam is saying that you may have shraddha, you may have very serious desire to understand Krishna and to develop devotion in the heart, Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishari. But this happens in stages. It doesn't happen overnight. But in the early days, if you get such teachers to tell you about who is Ramchandra and Krishna, not much time is required to lose your faith also in the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why it is said there that in the early part of spiritual life, particularly till one is fixed up in spiritual consciousness and Krishna consciousness, one should take absolute care not to associate with such people who have taken to this profession of evaluating Ramachandra and Sita Devi. That's not their business. They have no right to touch Ramayanam. It is not their business at all. They could write anything about mundane topics. But when topics related to Krishna and Ramachandra, they should leave that to devotees. It's their domain. It's not their, it is not the area where they could discuss this topic. Because after all, what do they understand? What do they understand about Ramachandra's position? What do they? Even Lord Shiva was, Lord Shrivarvati has been fallen into this illusion. What to talk about this mundane professors or mundane scholars who have this understanding? So, in that situation, it is mentioned that till the example is given like that, that you see when you have this this jackfruit tree leaves, that's very dear to the goats. So normally when they plant that tree, they will make a strong fence around in the beginning. Because they know if they give an opportunity for the goats to eat it, they'll come and eat it straight away and the tree will die. And our culture of devotion, devotional creeper is also like that. In the beginning, you require strong fencing all around. And that strong fence is devotees. Devotees are that fence. But when you become strong after many, many years, just like the tree, once it grows up and it becomes very, very strong, and at that time, you can even tie an elephant to that tree. Nothing will happen. Even if the elephant pulls the tree, it won't come down because he has become strong in that position. So similarly, for a devotee also, you can see from this that as long as one is strong in his consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, nothing can disturb him. But in the early years in spiritual life, this protection is necessary because even one word from such people is enough to destroy one's spiritual life. So here, this Ravana mentality is there in many, many people. They will not see, understand who is Ramachandra and what is Ramachandra's position. So Hanuman has tried to enlighten Ravana through various verses explaining about the living conditioned soul, conditioned soul's problems, conditioned soul's relationship with the Supreme Lord. So many things Hanuman has spoken to Ravana, but nothing went into Ravana's head. Ravana, on the same day when these things were happening, Ravana had a dream. And in that dream he saw a monkey coming over and destroying the whole place. He saw this dream. And it seems that Ravana was thinking that, when will I see this personality, Ramachandra? Because he was looking for Rama for some time, but he has not found him. That is what he told to Sita Devi. So he was having a little desire to see Ramachandra. So he was thinking in his own way, when will I see Ramachandra? So in this dream that night, Ravana felt so influenced by that. He thought that there is something going to happen now. He has got this firm signal from that night's dream. So it was then that Hanuman returned back. And when he got back, the first thing he came to see, before he went to see Sugriva, there were other monkeys who were with him, like Angada, Jambavan and others. So they were feeling happy because they have succeeded in their mission. Because they have succeeded in their mission, they wanted to celebrate straight away. So before he even went to see Ramachandra. So the celebration was, there was a forest with a lot of fruit trees, which was owned by Sugriva. And Sugriva has kept this special garden of fruit trees for himself and for the feast, for when great personalities used to come and visit him. So Hanuman thought, even if I now take fruits from there, from this special fruit trees, Sugriva may not get upset with me. So what did Hanuman do? The leader of the troop was not Hanuman or Jambavan. It was Angada, because he is the prince, isn't it? Bali's son. So Angada was the head. So they asked Angada for permission. Angada, being very young, felt impressed by everyone asking him for permission. It's natural also, isn't it? When you ask somebody who is very young permission to do something big, and he feels that authority, you know how authority influences people? Authority sometimes is very funny sometimes. That in this world you see, somebody whom you were able to talk to, next day you can't speak to him because he has taken the authority. As soon as the power, it seems that even in the days of Ramayanam, power was such a thing that once it goes into the head, it immediately changes the person, very much so. So our Angada anyway felt that he should give the permission. He gave permission to Hanuman and Jambavan to eat and enjoy as much as they like before they go and see Sugriva. So whole evening they did that. Without asking permission, they've gone and completely smashed the whole trees and took away whatever they wanted. As usual, the monkey's business. So when they did that, the person who was maintaining this, he woke up and started seeing these people around in the forest. So he couldn't bear with it. He tried to stop them, but none of them will listen to him. So he went up to Sugriva and complained about it very bitterly, the way the monkeys were acting, his army was acting. So by now, Hanuman and Angada and Jambavan, they all arrived at Sugriva. And so Hanuman was in a very jubilant mood. And you know what Hanuman has told? First thing Hanuman has told Sugriva, they don't communicate like the way in sentences all the time. Two words, that was enough for seeing Sita. That's it. I've seen Sita. It's a seeing Sita. That's all. Sugriva was satisfied. Seen Sita. That's enough. Hanuman said that and Sita was satisfied. Sugriva was satisfied. Immediately the whole army goes to see Lord Ramchandra. When they went to see Lord Ramchandra, Ramchandra knew very well, after all, what does he not know? He knows everything what goes on everywhere in the whole creation. But still he has to act. Why? He is in this form. He has come to teach the human society. Martya Shikshartham Evam Swayam Martyavataro Tavagalu Niyadam. Martya Shikshartham Evam. This whole pastime is meant for teaching the human society many, many things. You see, if you compare, these are some of the very nice things in the Bhagavatam and Ramayanam. You will find these two personalities, Krishna and Ramachandra, two different nature. So different in their approach, in their activities. Ramachandra always straightforward, sticking to dharmam, religious principles, no concession. Even if it is Sita Devi or Lakshmana, no. Always sticking to the principles. Everything you want straightforward. No time, you can see in Ramchandra's life, once he has acted without truthfulness. And you take Krishna's case. Everywhere Krishna will do what he wants to do, and that is the law. Whatever Krishna says, that is the law. Whatever, you can say anything you like. There is no other appearance any time in the history who has shown such courage and strength and acted like that, like Krishna. And that is what Krishna is different from Ramachandra in this aspect. That is what makes it so different. That although the same person, when came as Krishna, the whole attitude was different. Because he knew that these people doesn't deserve any more fair treatment. Well, that's the kind of associates he got here. Starting from Duryodhana and Jarasandha and so many others, he did not want to be fair in anything. In everything, Krishna had his own way of doing things. And never once Krishna has legitimized anything what he did. For everything what he did, if you have a question, you can ask me. That was Krishna's attitude. I'll give yes an answer for everything also. And that is why Vilumangalam and Krishna has always like this. Vilumangalam said to Krishna once that this was the day when the Ilukhala Vandanam happened. That was the day when Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda decided to punish Krishna. So one day Vilumangalam sent to see Krishna. So when he went to see Krishna, Krishna was tied down there with the mortar. And he has managed to keep some butter in the mortar. And he has taken that in his left hand, and with the right hand he was eating it. He was eating it and all his close associates were there. The crows, the cat, the monkeys, they were all sitting around him and he was feeding every one of them. And Vilumangalam arrived there to see him. And when Vilumangalam saw Krishna and looked at him, and Vilumangalam said to Krishna, "Whatever happens, this should not happen to anybody," he said to Krishna. So Krishna says, "Swamiji, this is exactly what I was thinking. You know what has happened to me today?" Swamiji says, "Vilumangalam is a Swamiji, isn't it? Swami, Vilumangalam Swami," he says, "what happened today?" He says, Krishna says, "What's the point in telling you all these things?" He won't tell the answer. He will keep on beating around the bush. Never will give the answer directly to Vilumangalam. So Krishna says to Vilumangalam, "Swamiji, what can I say? This morning, particularly today, was a bad day for me. Everything went wrong since morning. I got up, mother wasn't there. Normally mother Yashoda used to wake him up. Today there was no symptom of anybody there. There was no one there," she says. "I got up, I couldn't see mother Yashoda. So I went to the kitchen. When I went there, she was sitting there singing songs and she was churning the butter. She didn't have time for me, isn't it?" She said, Krishna says, "And what did I do? I went up to mother Yashoda. She says to me, 'Krishna, sit here for a minute. The milk is boiling off. Let me go and attend to that.' Swamiji, what shall I say?" I was thinking in my mind, even she has no time for me now. That's what I thought," he says. "All these days, in fact, Yashoda Mai had a completely different plans the whole day. She wanted to spend the whole time with Krishna and she has got up so early in that day morning. Nanda Maharaj was away. Balaram was away. Even mother Rohini was away. Nobody was at home. Only mother and that beloved son together. They were having this fun together. So mother Yashoda says that, 'Let me attend to the milk,' and went away. By now, he was really angry. Krishna was so angry that while mother Yashoda was going away, he told me that, 'Krishna, you should keep an eye on this pot with the butter, with the yogurt. Because that cat, you know that black cat, the big one, which wanders around here, he is somewhere around. And as soon as I go, he will come and start eating the butter from the pot. So I was very careful," says Krishna. To Vilumangalam, he's saying all these things to Vilumangalam. "I was very, very careful." Vilumangalam was looking at Krishna and he started smiling. He said, "What a vak chaturyam, what an ability to speak like this, to present things in such a truthful way." Vilumangalam looked at Krishna for a minute and started looking at his feet. So he kept looking and looking at the face. And Krishna started doubting Vilumangalam. "Is he not trusting me, what I am saying, all these things?" So Vilumangalam was not trusting Krishna. Krishna was not trusting Vilumangalam also. Both were suspicious of each other. And then what happens is, Krishna is saying to Vilumangalam, "Vilumangalam, do you know what happened?" Swamiji, he says, "Swamiji, you know what happened?" "What can I say?" he says. "The moment Yashoda Devi has gone, that cat jumped in. And I was sleeping actually, because I have not even woken up completely from my sleep. And what I exactly wanted was, I wanted to bring this, you know, this grinding stone. I don't know, today anybody has seen these things because they have disappeared from the world long back. Especially in the Western world, if you say there was a stone to grind and there's a small stone to grind on top of the big stone. So mother and the baby, you can say the baby stone, you grind over the mother stone, big stone. Nowadays you've got Molinex and all that. So we won't, you have to give explanation to all these things now first before you explain the Krishna's pastime. But whatever it is, Krishna wanted to bring that and put it on the cat," he says. So he was having this butter from the pot happily, and I threw this whole thing on him. Unfortunately, he said, he escaped and ran away and fell on the pot. Fortunately, Krishna says, "It didn't fall on my feet, isn't it, Swamiji?" he says. Krishna was presenting the whole thing in such a convincing manner to Vilumangalam, Vilumangalam could not believe it. Vilumangalam could not accept it. Vilumangalam thought, I should not keep quiet about this, because no one else has spoken to me in such a convincing way at this age. After all, I am a sannyasi. I've lived in this world so long. I've gone through a brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram and sannyas ashram. And this 5-year-old boy is telling me what has happened. And so he said, Vadane navanita gandavaham vachane taskara chaturim durinam. That the smell of butter was coming from the mouth, continuously eating this butter, and he is speaking also, and tears were coming from the eyes. Vadane navanita gandavaham, and what else? Vachane taskara chaturim durinam. Not one word Krishna has spoken was truth. Vilumangalam is saying, not one word was the truth, he says. It was a taskara chaturi durinam, he says. Taskara chaturi means every word he spoken was a liar, he says. Vachane, all the words what he has spoken was taskara chaturim durinam. That taskara chaturiyam, in other words, that ability to tell a lie like a liar was prominent in the words which has come out. Then, nayane kuhanashrama shrayetaha. Was the tears correct ones? Even they were not proper. They were also what we call as the crocodile tears that he was shedding. So Swamiji turned around to Krishna and said to him, Krishna, whatever you have said, I believe 100%, but millions won't. He said, I accept it. He said, Bhavani, whatever you have said is true, I accept that, but others will find it very hard. So everything Krishna said to him, whatever I say, it's lie, it's lie, it's lie, it's lie. You keep telling me like this. Now what am I supposed to do? Krishna says to Vilumangalam, I have told you what happened. No cat has come, nothing has happened. Everything Krishna has done on his own. And the whole story was fabricated by Krishna to suit the situation, to show to Vilumangalam that I was not at fault, Yashoda is at fault. This was the whole intention behind it. And he was trying to mislead Vilumangalam in this whole thing. And that is why Vilumangalam said, very difficult to believe it, he said. So Krishna says to him, that where is the proof that I am telling a lie? He said to Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam said, the proof is there. All I have to look is to look at your lotus feet, he said. Because when I look at it, I can see that you are dancing as well while telling these lies. I have never seen, Vilumangalam said to Krishna, that I have seen so many children, they cry when they are upset with something. When they cry, they don't dance with the feet. So it shows to me clearly that all that what you have spoken is nothing but pure lie, he said to Krishna. So you can see, vadane navanita gandavaham vachane taskara chaturim durinam nayane kuhanashrumashrayedaha charane komala tandavam kumaram. That komala tandavam, the beautiful dancing what Krishna was doing with his lotus feet, kumaram, that was what was made this point to Vilumangalam. So at that age itself Krishna has started this, and it didn't finish till the last minute when till Krishna left this world. So you can see from there that Krishna and Ramachandra, they had two different personalities in this world. Krishna performed such activities in this pastimes in this world that he gave us Srimad Bhagavatam because of that. Today, that is why these childhood, the attraction what Krishna's childhood pastimes has is far super excellent compared to the Ramchandra's pastimes, because Ramchandra's all pastimes were based on ethics and principles, and never he was willing to break down from them any moment. So when Sugriva and the people came back to see Ramachandra, Ramachandra got this information that again Hanuman repeated the same word, seen Sita. So Sita and handed over the Chudaratnam, the jewel from her from her crown to back to her hair to Ramachandra. Ramachandra started feeling separation strongly at that time. And hearing from Hanuman all the things, what has happened, Ramachandra became more upset that day. And when he got more upset, then Lakshmana and Sugriva had to prepare for the war now. They had to prepare for the big war that they were planning ahead. And they knew what possibilities they had to face at the time when fighting Ravana. And before, and that too, they had only 2 months' time, because that's the time Ravana is given for Sita Devi. And in these 2 months' time, if Ramachandra doesn't get there and take Sita Devi away from there, there was a possibility that Ravana may do harm to her. So many different things have come through Ramachandra's mind, and that is how we move on to the Yudhakandam, which we'll discuss next Sunday. That is a war between Ramachandra and Ravana, and that war, how it eventually ended up in the finishing the fight between Ravana and Ravana's kill, and the journey back to Ayodhya. All that comes in the next canto. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions, please.
Actually, Arjuna was a devotee of Krishna, in the sense of Hanuman was a devotee of Lord Ram. But Hanuman has a lot of help, whereas Arjuna has a lot of wide reason. Somebody asked a question.
What was the question?
Hanuman has a devotee of Lord Ram.
Yes.
Same like Arjuna was a devotee of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
But Hanuman has got temple and is worshipped by so many people.
Why Arjuna is not worshipped like Hanuman? Yeah. When Arjuna was in the world, Arjuna had the role of Arjuna as a devotee of Krishna. In the sense that Arjuna came to this world to execute this mission of Krishna. And in executing that mission, he had... Krishna has entrusted him with this situation of Bhagavad Gita. That was the message for which Arjuna was selected, basically. Krishna had many, many devotees. It was, if you ask in that way, why only Arjuna? Why not Uddhava? Why not all the gopis? Why not, in a similar way, why not Kunti Devi, not worshipped? So, when Hanuman came here, Hanuman as a personality, not only that, his devotion to Ramachandra in Dasya Bhakti, Hanuman has been given as the super example for his devotion to Ramachandra. In other words, that there was no time when Hanuman has forgotten Ramachandra and Sita Devi at any time. Whereas in Arjuna's case, it is different. Arjuna has not been recognized like Hanuman is recognized. Hanuman's position is so high in the devotional culture that he is as good as Ramachandra's servant, is as strong as Ramachandra in many ways. You could say that. Whereas Arjuna's case, Arjuna was strong when Krishna gave the support to him. The moment Krishna withdrew that support for Arjuna, Arjuna was an ordinary, he is Nara, he is an ordinary human being. When was this proven? This was proven after the war. If you remember, in the war, an arrow was shot and the whole chariot was going to be burned. So after the whole war was finished, Mahabharata war was over, Arjuna was in the chariot. Krishna told Arjuna, "Arjuna, come out of the chariot," he said. And as soon as Arjuna stepped out of the chariot got burned into ashes. Arjuna was surprised seeing this, what happened. Krishna said to Arjuna, "That chariot should have burned days ago. It didn't burn because I kept it going till now. Now that you have come out of it, war is over, the purpose is finished." Because the Bhishma and others, they have shot such arrows and they had such powerful weapons them that Arjuna would have left alone. But okay, you can see all along the protection Arjuna was getting was from Krishna, and that is what kept Arjuna going. Otherwise, if you take away Krishna's support to Arjuna, Arjuna is a Nara, Krishna is Narayana, Arjuna is Naranarayana, therefore they are called. Bhagavatam says, Agalpakalam Sadhu Janabhisakshi, protecting the devotees, that is the duty of Naranarayana Rishi, the two sages they are doing. So, from this viewpoint you can see that position of Arjuna and position of Hanuman is different. Hanuman, on the other hand, from beginning to end, he has come with this, his son of Vayu, Vayuputra he is. Apart from that, his childhood and the benedictions and the strength what Ramchandra has offered him because of that strong devotion what he has developed in him to such a perfection that you could not take Ramchandra away from Hanuman at any moment. In other words, he has become so powerful because of this. And therefore, devotees find shelter in Hanuman. They pray to Hanuman to give them the same kind of devotion like Hanuman had for Ramchandra. So you can see that sometimes devotees become so powerful due to their strong devotion that they will take shelter of devotees because they find that if somebody like Hanuman could become such a powerful devotee, why is it not possible? That is why wherever Ramchandra is present, yatra yatra rekhunada kirtanam, wherever Lord Ramachandra is glorified, tatra tatra krida mastakanjalim, Hanuman is sitting there with his hands on top of his head, just like you see at the temple. Tatra krida mastakanjalim bashpa varidi paripurna lojanam, from both his eyes tears are coming while chanting the names of Ramachandra. This is Rama. Maridim namada rakshasandagam. Maridi is known for killing the rakshasas, and we pay our obeisances to him. So this famous verse on Maridi came up, or Hanuman came up, because of this reason, that you cannot take Ramachandra away from Sidadi, away from Hanuman. Not only towards Ramachandra, even towards Sidadevi. When after coming back to Ayodhya, one day Ramchandra handed over a garland to Sita Devi, a beautiful garland, and told Sita Devi, present it to whomever you like the best in this world. And Sita Devi selected Hanuman at that time to receive that garland. From this you can see how much Hanuman was dear to their heart. And many pictures also you will find Hanuman opening up his chest and Radha and Sita Ramchandra present there. So in devotion, Hanuman has gone so far ahead of anyone, and devotees find strength in glorifying Hanuman from. Whereas with Arjuna, it is a different scene altogether. Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, it took a long time for Arjuna. Arjuna had still pride in his mind, and Krishna took about 60 years to get rid of that pride from Arjuna. In the Bhagavadam, that is how it's mentioned. Whereas as Hanuman was concerned, he was so pure in his heart, there was no question of any pride. And he had the complete conviction in him that he could do anything he wanted as long as these two letters, Rama, is on his lips. So two different personalities, two different situations. Arjuna refused, that story of Sandana Gopalam, 89th chapter in the 10th canto you'll find that after Mahabharata war, this incident happens after many years. And all these years, Arjuna was thinking that Arjuna had pride in him. And Krishna sensed that. And Krishna decided that I have to get rid of that pride from Arjuna. Because Krishna thought of Arjuna, not because Arjuna was so dear to him, because she is the son of Kunti Devi. That was the reason. Kunti Devi is so dear to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna wanted to protect Arjuna and bring him back to the right direction. So when he sensed that, Arjuna had pride. What was the pride? The pride was, I won Mahabharata war. I was the first person who heard Bhagavad Gita. I have even won Lord Shiva in the war, because he beat Lord Shiva and broke his head beating with his bow. And there is a temple built according to that, in the broken head of Lord Shiva. When Lord Shiva and Shivarvati came as hunter in the forest, they had to fight a war against Arjuna. And seeing Arjuna's courage and valor, Lord Shiva handed over to him the Pashupadam. That is what was used in the war. So Arjuna has pleased Lord Shiva also. But all this pride was inside. And Krishna was always thinking, if this pride goes away from his heart, how nice it will be. This is what Krishna was thinking about Arjuna. Krishna also thinks about devotees. When devotees become proud, Krishna takes it away by some means. Sometimes it has to be done in a very ruthless manner. Sometimes it has to be done in a nice way. But what has happened now with Arjuna was that he went and committed to protect these Brahmana's children, 10 children. And the 10th one was, he promised. And he promised the Brahmana such a way that in Dwaraka, normally such a thing would not have happened when Krishna was managing. Whenever the child was born, every time the child was born, it was coming out dead. And when the 9 children died like this, the Brahmana came, every time the child die, Brahmana will come to the palace and announce loudly to Krishna, what kind of administration is this? That it is supposed to be ruled, there is supposed to be the Chaturvyuham, Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. All 4 are there, Murti Vyuham. And in their administration, is this how what happens to a Brahmana? He asked the question. So when this question was put forward, Krishna was saying, keeping quiet, wasn't saying anything. Because it was a plan masterminded by Krishna and the Brahmana together to teach Arjuna this lesson. It is very obvious from the way Sri Shugan spoke about that to Parikshit Maharaj, and many commentators have also approved this, that it was a plan devised by Krishna and the Brahmana to get rid of Arjuna's this pride. So first child died, Brahmana come and complained, and Krishna didn't say one word, he kept quiet about it. Few times this happened, so somebody asked Krishna that this doesn't look right, what's happening in Dwaraka, that this Brahmana, who is such a nice Brahmana, why his children are dying like this at the time of birth, every one of them? Krishna said, what is so strange about it? I lost my child, first one. Pradyumna was taken away by Shabarasura, he is gone. What could I do about it? This is all normal things in this world, he said. This was Krishna's answer. So then somebody asked Krishna, if you say that this has happened to you, but you got back your son later, isn't it? Pradyumna came back. After marrying Radhi Devi, they came back together. Krishna said, did I say that he won't get back his son? So this was Krishna's answer. So everything, Krishna has an answer for that. But he won't say what was going to happen. So this time, when the 9th one also gone, he came to the palace to complain. And when he came to complain, Balaram was sitting there, Krishna was sitting there, and Arjuna was sitting there. So all 3 of them were there. So when the Brahmana came and started complaining about this 9th one, which is gone. So Arjuna looked at Krishna and Balaram and said to them, I'm just going out for a minute, he said. I'll go and talk to that Brahmana, he said. He goes to the Brahmana and says to the Brahmana, Krishna is sitting here and listening to the whole conversation. He says to Brahmana, my dear Brahmana, I hear your problem that you have lost your 9 children before. But I am here today. You know my name? My name is Arjuna, he says. I am by Arjuna Nama. In the Bhagavatam you can find it. You know me? I am Arjuna, he says. Have you heard about him? He says. Brahmana says, I don't know who is Arjuna, he says. So Arjuna says, Viryam Trambakatoshanam. I am Arjuna, who has even beaten Lord Shiva in the war and made him to hand over to me his Pashuvadam, he says. So fine, very nice, he said. Brahmana says to Arjuna, so do you think that you can do something about it? Or should I talk to Krishna and Balaram about it? He says, no point in talking to Krishna and Balaram, he says. It's me, I can manage that, he said. So this is how Arjuna replied. And all this is heard inside. There, Krishna is sitting there. He says, what, my devotee, which way is he going? He says, Krishna says, this cannot go on. Because you can remember, from the war, by now, 30-40 years have gone after Mahabharata war. And still, Arjuna's consciousness is like this. And Krishna was thinking that if this consciousness, you can't come back to the spiritual world. So he has to change Arjuna. And it was then that the next incident, what happened was that Brahmana goes back. He says, next time when your wife is ready for the next delivery, just let me know, he says. Brahmana thought, okay, I've heard Sangarshana was here, Balaram was here, nothing happened. Krishna was here, nothing has happened. Let me see, you are talking so many big things. But let me see what happens, he says. Eventually, when the next delivery was to happen, he informed Arjuna in advance. Arjuna said, "Oh, I am coming right now," he said. He took his bow and arrow and walked straight in. And he created what is known as Sharapanjaram. Sharapanjaram means with the arrows and the mantra, he created this special shelter around the Sutika Graham, that means where the delivery was happening. And the shelter was created and he stood outside. And he told the Brahmana, "As soon as the baby is delivered, just let me know. I have created this and nothing can go out," he said. And after some time, the mother delivered the baby. But this time what happened? Previously in all the other time, 9 times, the baby was seen. But this time even the baby wasn't there. The whole baby was gone missing. So that time, Brahmana came out and told Arjuna that you are a terrible person, he said to Arjuna. The Brahmana's words in the Bhagavatam, if you read, I can't remember, but the words were such that Arjuna could not hold his head high anymore. After all, you must remember, Arjuna is a Kshatriya, and that Kshatriya spirit, you can't take it away from him. But here is a Brahmana telling him openly that what he thinks about him, all these words what he has spoken. So the agreement was that Arjuna has agreed with the Brahmana that if I do not find him, I will jump into the fire and kill myself. This is what he has agreed. So now, Brahmana said to Arjuna that, "So you are ready now to jump into the fire? Or you got any plans to do anything beyond that?" Arjuna says, "No, I have to look for him. Wherever he is, I'll bring him. I am Arjuna," he says. So he looked everywhere. He went to this planet, that planet. Wherever he could go, everywhere he went. He couldn't find anywhere. So when he came back, so Brahmana asked him, "Did you not jump into the fire then? Only when you saw the fire, you got frightened, did you?" He says to Arjuna. So Arjuna says that that it was then that he was protected by Krishna. We'll discuss that when we come to that chapter, because it's a very, very beautiful chapter in the Bhagavatam when Krishna has protected Arjuna and took him off from his pride. These problems didn't exist with Hanuman. Hanuman was in his Dasya Bhakti. If anybody is quoted for Dasya Bhakti, it is Hanuman. You know, that Dasyam, Rama Dasyam, Sri Rama Dasyam, which Hanuman had, is the perfection of that process. So that is the only thing I can say about that.
Yeah.